Squibb presents Academy Award. Tonight, Cary Grant and Ann Todd in Suspicion. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses, techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. And now, Academy Award.
Things about him, that he was careless, which I knew meant carefree, that he was unreliable, which I knew meant he was different from any other man in the world. But naturally, I didn't care what the looks implied. Well, I wouldn't have cared, even if I'd seen them. The smug looks, the I told you so, and even the pitying looks from the few who seemed to care.
Well, Mrs. Aysgarth, are you getting used to being a wife?
Oh, darling, it's wonderful.
Yes, well, let's see. It all started at the Hunt Ball, and then we got married, then it's kind of a blur.
Blur of Venice, Naples, Capri, Monte Carlo, Nice, Paris, and now this wonderful, heavenly, adorable house. Oh, John, are you sure we can afford all this?
Lena, one doesn't talk of money in paradise.
Telegram, sir?
Oh, my, speaking of paradise, let's see who wants to spoil it.
Is it bad news, Danny?
No, just from an old friend of mine, Steve Fellow, who wants £1,000. You couldn't spare £1,000, could you, dear?
£1,000? What do you want it for?
Hang if I know. Probably because I borrowed it from him.
You borrowed it? Why?
Well, because I was going on a honeymoon with the loveliest girl in the world, and I wanted her to be happy. Was she happy?
But didn't you have any money of your own?
Not a shilling.
Johnny, you broke.
Oh, monkey face. I've been broke all my life.
But I know you didn't marry me for my money. You could have done much better elsewhere. My income will never pay for all this. Never.
Well, what about your father?
Oh, I couldn't ask father or mother. But you wouldn't actually want to live and your wife to dance, would you?
No, darling. Naturally not.
Well, then.
Well, I suppose if the worst comes to the worst, that is, if there's no other way out, well, I'll probably have to...
What?
Borrow some more.
Johnny, there's going to be no more borrowing or gambling.
What else is there to do?
You've got to go to work.
Work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mean put on old clothes, go out with a shovel?
Don't be flippant, darling. There are all sorts of jobs.
All right, darling. I'm broad-minded. Let's have some tea. Hey, we can make out a list of jobs. You know, I think that'll be fun.
It meant so much to me that Johnny took a position. I think he would understand. It seemed to help me push the sneers and the knowing smiles back into the dark. I don't know exactly what Johnny does, but he has a job in the office of a Captain Milbert, a sort of distant cousin of his. I was at home waiting for Johnny when a stranger called.
I said, you must be old Johnny's wife.
Yes, I am.
Didn't he tell you about me? I'm Beaky.
Beaky? Oh, you're Beaky.
Yeah, that's what they called me in school.
Beaky Swaite. Oh, I've heard so much about you.
And Johnny told me about you, too. Ran into him at the Newbury races last week.
The races?
Oh, put my foot in it as usual, eh? Didn't he tell you?
Johnny has a job. He couldn't have been at the races. Besides, he stopped eating.
Oh, he has he? Oh, no, Johnny. Great lad, eh, what? Well, you mustn't mind him cutting out. That's what makes him Johnny. Besides, he thinks you're a topper. Oh, yes, he does. I think so, too. Say what?
Won't you sit down, Mr. Swaite?
I don't see why not. Is anything wrong?
Well, there were two Queen Anne chairs here this morning before I went out.
They've disappeared, have they?
Apparently.
Were they expensive?
Yes, very. Museum pieces. Oh, what's the matter?
Oh, Johnny, he'll be the death of me yet. Don't you understand?
No, I don't.
I'll give you 20-1. Johnny sold them.
Sold them? What for?
What for? For money, of course. Chap's got to pay his racing bets, hasn't he? And Johnny lost the packet in Newbury.
I don't believe you.
Oh, put my foot in it again, have I? My dear girl, what's your name?
Lena.
My dear Lena, you simply haven't got acquainted with old Johnny. Why, at school there wasn't one chap who's spending money Johnny purloined who didn't forgive him in the end. Why, you'll forgive him anything when you know him better.
Johnny.
Obie.
Well, well, Obie.
How's my darling monkey face?
Hello, Johnny.
Ask him about the chairs, Oka.
Hey, what are you whispering about, Obie?
I just want her to ask you about the chairs that disappeared.
Oh, yeah, well, you would. So you two discovered my iniquity, eh? Well, some American chap stopped by. I admired them so much, I just had to let him have them.
Johnny, you're such a wonderful liar.
Yes, well, look, you two. Forget the Inquisition. Now, sit down, both of you. Anywhere.
Lena, wait till you hear me.
Now, shut up, Beaky. Lena, you remember that necklace you admired in the shop window a month ago? Here, it's yours.
Oh, Johnny,
My friends, the Grand National was one today. I happened to have backed the winner. A 10-to-1 shot, ladies and gentlemen, 10-to-1, and I had £200 on him.
By Jove, 10-to... Why, that's £2,000.
Oh, that's amazing, Beaky. Hey, Monkey Face, you're not smiling. Come on, smile.
Where did you get the £200?
Oh, now, really, I say, what a question.
Darling, where did you get it?
Well, you know very well there was no America, and I got it for the chairs, of course.
You sold the chairs to gamble all your money on a horse?
Not exactly. You see, I owed some money to the bookie.
Johnny's such a lad.
Now, darling, be practical. Come on, give us a smile.
Yes, come along, old girl. Johnny, you tickle her chin while I make faces.
Think that'll work?
Yes, now, more tickle.
Okay. Any results yet, Beaky?
Not yet, O.B. Wait, I'll make a sound like an owl.
Yeah, let's try
that. Always gets them. Oh, wait a minute. Wait,
I forgot something. Here you are. A receipt from the setting shop. Payment in full for a certain pair of Queen Anne chairs. They'll be delivered within the hour.
Oh, look at that, Johnny. She's smiling.
Oh, Johnny.
Here's to the famous Johnny Asgard. Beakers up, brandy to the bottom.
Oh, Johnny, you're choking. Do something.
It's no use, darling. I've seen this happen before. It'll either kill him or go away by itself. I think one of these days it will kill him.
Johnny, listen. An old friend of yours. How can you take that attitude? And you sat down and let him drink all the brandy he wanted. Oh, what is the matter with me? Johnny, I do trust you. I do believe in you. But... I met one of the smiling faces today. She made it quite clear that you hadn't given up gambling. She told me she saw you each afternoon at the races. Johnny, perhaps I shouldn't, but I must find out. I must.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Esgar.
Oh, Captain Novak, I turned to see my husband, but since he isn't here... Well, after all, you are his cousin as well as his employer, and I... Well, I'm just... terribly worried.
Yes, I understand that. But on the other hand, I told him I wouldn't prosecute, of course.
I don't understand. What on earth are you talking about?
But how did you get away with it? What reason did he give you when I discharged him?
When did you discharge him?
6 weeks ago. We had an unexpected audit, and the account showed a deficit of £2,000. And when I looked into Johnny's record...
Look at the photograph of the cliffs, Beaky. We could put the hotel up here.
Perfect.
Then the little houses could go down on the beach there.
Hello, you two. What's going on?
Oh, hello, Monkey Face. Sit down, darling. Beaky and I are organizing a real estate company. We're going to buy up this beautiful piece of land right by the sea.
Well, have you found somebody to put up the money?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Me, old girl.
I see.
Well, the idea is mine. The capital is Beaky's. You see, Beaky borrows against some securities in Paris, and then we issue stocks. The whole company, of course, would be in my name. It's very simple.
Does Beaky understand it?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Captain Novak's on the phone, sir.
Oh. I'll take it in the study. Excuse me for a moment.
Beaky.
Yes, madam?
You're being unfair to Johnny.
What? Oh, yeah, now that's a hot one. Why, he's president of the whole new thing. He gets a salary. He can write checks.
That's just what I mean.
Well, what's wrong about that? Oh, there you are, old boy. You know, Lena's been telling me that you're a bit soft in the head. Not a good risk and all that rot.
I heard through the door.
Now, how about cleaning up, old boy? Nearly time for dinner. You know your room. Better hurry in.
Oh, all right. I'll admit it.
Well?
Lena, have you any regrets that you married me?
No. Why do you ask that?
And show me the courtesy of not interfering in my affairs.
Johnny, I'm not interfering in your affairs.
You are. And I'm warning you, stop it. You hear? You hear?
Oh, Johnny, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. But it's pretty obvious it's no garland of roses to be Mrs. John Asgard.
Johnny, do you have any regrets?
Monkey Face, marrying you is the one thing I've never changed my mind about. I want nothing but to spend the rest of my life with you. And if you die first...
Yes? If I die first?
What about you?
I couldn't fall out of love with you if I tried.
Have you tried?
Yes. Today, when I found out about Captain Merrick.
Oh, that. Well, listen to me. If I had the money, I could go ahead with this development. It's really a wonderful spot.
And you think Beaky has the money?
Of course. Oh. Well, I guess that's over.
Over? Why? What's happened?
Nothing's happened. I'm calling the deal off.
Does Beaky about it?
Not yet.
Here I am, darlings, and ravenous. When do we dine, eh? Personally, old bean, I can't see anything wrong with the scheme. But you say it's no use going ahead with it. Well, let's go ahead.
Well, Biggie, I'm not going to take the responsibility of calling the whole thing off without proving to you the scheme's no good. Now, you'll have to go up there to the cliffs tomorrow and take a look.
Well, old bean, if you say it's no good, that satisfies me.
It should satisfy him. Why does Johnny insist?
However, I would have liked
it. What's in his mind? He's desperate for money. If he would sell the chair and dagger from Captain
Melvin,
would he stop
it?
No, that's preposterous.
But
he said, if I were to die...
I say, Johnny, I really don't want to go up there in the morning. It'll be nasty and cold.
Nasty and cold and foggy. Cliffs are high and treacherous. Beaky is no match, Johnny.
Earlier the better. There won't be so much traffic on the road.
Near the cliffs will be alone. Nobody to watch. Beaky will get out of the car. Then Johnny, they'll walk near the edge of the cliff. Beaky will peer over. Too near. And suddenly, he will go
I say, getting up for me is murder, old chap. Murder.
No.
I say, I do believe she's fainted, old bean. No, whatever it is, could be wrong.
Before continuing with part two of Academy Award, we wish to thank RKO Pictures for making this story available. RKO are also the producers of Sister Kenny, starring Rosalind Russell and Alexander Knox. And now the House of Squibb presents part two of Academy Award, starring Cary Grant and Ann Todd in Suspicion.
A little phrase from childhood keeps going through my head. Gruesome shapes and things horrid. Why can't I get Johnny out of my mind? Not the laughing, easy-going Johnny I know, but a sinister Johnny. I got up early, took my car. I drove out to the cliff and found the tire marks of Johnny's car. They led right up to the edge of the cliff. My heart stood still. Where the tire mark ended, the cliff had caved in and was gone. I don't remember how I got home. Johnny, where's Beaky?
Oh, hello, my girl. I'm here.
Oh, thank God. Johnny!
Why, monkey face, you're breaking my bones with that hug. After all, I've only been gone a few hours.
Seems like a thousand.
Seems that way to me, too.
Oh, shut up. It was nothing, Beaky.
Oh, I nearly lost my life. Do you call that nothing?
You nearly lost your life?
Yes, I was turning the car near the edge of the cliff.
Was Johnny in the car?
No, he was at my interview. Well, I was backing right up to the edge. If Johnny hadn't seen it and taken a leap and grabbed the brake, well, by Jove, I shouldn't be here.
Johnny saved your life?
He certainly did. Then Johnny close to losing his own, too.
Oh, Johnny, how can I ever tell you what this means to me?
To you?
It meant something to me, too, by Harry. Ought to get a chap a reward, eh, what?
Oh, now it's getting interesting.
Why can't he come to Paris with me? I think old Johnny needs a holiday.
Paris?
Yes, my securities are there. I think I'd better fly over to dissolve the corporation. I'll treat Johnny to the trip.
Oh, the cad seems to forget I'm a married man, darling. Then I might toss a few things into a bag and drive as far as London with him. What about that, monkey face?
Oh, ripping. Oh, do let him, monkey, Albina.
Well, I don't see how I can stop him.
Good. Great. Let's pack, Albina.
Mrs. Aylcom?
Yes?
I'm Hodgson, Inspector of the County Police. I understand your husband is not in, madam.
No, he's out in London for a few days.
I believe you know a Mr. Thwaite.
Why, of course, he's a very good friend of my husband.
Well, Mrs. Aylcom, Mr. Thwaite is dead.
Dead?
Died in Paris.
It is such a shock. You see, I knew him.
I'm sorry to have to break it to you, Mrs. Elgarth. It seems Mr. Thwaite was in the company of another gentleman by the name of Albeam or Holbeam. There was some sort of a drinking bet between them. This other gentleman ordered a large beaker of brandy for Mr. Thwaite and then left. Did you or your husband happen to know any friend of Mr. Thwaite's who would answer to a name such as Albeam or Holbeam?
I'm afraid not.
The papers were found on Mr. Thwaite, which would indicate that he and your husband had formed a corporation.
My husband had planned a real estate development for Mr. Thwaite. Mr. Thwaite had gone to Paris to dissolve it.
I see. Well, thank you, Mrs. Aysgott. Sorry I had to bother you. When your husband returns, by the way, do you expect him?
This evening, Inspector.
Would you ask him to ring me at the station?
Yes.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Hello? Hogarth Club, London. Oh, may I speak to Mr. Aysgott, please? Yes. Oh, when do you expect him? He left yesterday. Thank you. Oh, it's you.
Yes. So you've heard about Biggie?
Yes. Dead. Johnny, the inspector, wants you to phone him.
Note
it for me, sir. Oh, yeah? Now tell him I got his note. Tell him I'll take care of the matter within 2 weeks, as he requests.
Yes, sir. What's
the matter?
The debt, Monkey Face. He wants his money.
And you can get it in 2 weeks?
I'm trying. Now, suppose we call it a day.
But, Johnny, you have to call the inspector.
Let's call it a day, darling. I'm tired. Dead tired.
All night I lay awake, my mind whirling with suspicion. And suddenly I remembered Isabel, who's a writer in murder fiction. I remembered Johnny asking her questions a few evenings ago. Unusual questions. Had he followed up those questions? Why did Johnny want to know so much about murder and the ways of committing murder?
Well, since you flattered me by telling me you've already read my latest story, ask me your question.
Isabel, why did Johnny come to see you?
Well, my dear, Johnny is interested in the way in which we poor writers evolve our little plot. Well, naturally, we talk to so many things.
I see. Did he ask you any particular questions? Questions like, well, unusual ways in which a character might commit a crime?
Well, yes, we did talk of that. You know, Johnny, you can't resist him. He makes you want to tell all your trade secrets.
I see.
Oh, I remember now. Johnny was simply fascinated by one of my pet theories, an untraceable prison.
Oh, was he? Has Johnny been having nightmares?
Talking in his sleep, my dear?
Yes, yes, Isabel. That's it. Nightmares.
Oh, Mrs. Aysgott. This letter just came from Mr. Aysgott. I was going to bring it up.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it to myself.
Yes.
Deventer Insurance Company in Manchester. Replying to your inquiry regarding a loan of £2,000 against policy 167895. Regret loan cannot be made. Under terms of policy, payment can only be made in the event of the death of your wife. Event of the death of your wife. I saw Isabel today. I didn't know you were so interested in murder mysteries.
Yes. I borrowed one of her books. Terrible bore, too. There was a lot of muck about using an untraceable poison.
What does that mean, untraceable?
Well, you can't find it on the court, so you look high and low.
Yes.
Are you interested in murder, too, dear?
Yes, I'm getting to be.
Had quite an interesting chat with Isabel that day. She thinks I couldn't commit a murder if I tried 100 years. Something in my face. What do you think, darling?
I don't know, Johnny. Johnny, have you finished breakfast?
Yes. Oh, are you speaking to me this morning?
I'm sorry, Johnny. I don't know what got into me last night. I must be developing nerves.
No, I don't mind being asked to sleep in my dressing room, even when my wife locks the door between. Some husbands might, but not me.
Oh, really, Johnny, I'm just run down. I think I'd better go down to Mother's for a few days.
She asked you?
Why, yes, yes, she called this morning.
Must have been very early. I didn't hear it. Very well. I'll drive you.
Oh, you needn't drive me. I can take the...
I prefer to drive you. That door on your side keeps me open. I must get it fixed someday.
Please, you have to drive so far.
Good morning for a bit of speed.
Look out!
Shortcut here. Almost missed the turn. Watch that door! Peter, come back here, you crazy fool. Where are you going? Peter!
Oh,
Peter, what's got into you?
Let me go, Johnny! Let me go! Please!
Oh, stop it, little fool. Stop it. Now listen to me. How much do you think a man can bear? You turn me out of your room. You go running away to your mother's, and now you cringe as though you hate me. You're my wife, Lena.
I thought...
You almost... I suppose back there in the car because you had to pull away when I reached out to see you. Well, you won't have to put up with me anymore.
Johnny, where are you going, Johnny?
First, I'm driving you on to your mother's.
And then what?
You needn't worry. I'll never bother you again.
You mean you're going to? Is that why you were looking up that poison in Isabel's book? You were going to? Kill yourself. Oh, Johnny, my darling, no.
No, don't worry. I saw that was a cheap way out. I'm going back to see her through, Lena. Prison term and everything.
Prison? You mean Mildred? That money you took?
Yes. I can't pay it back. I made a last try to raise the money when I went away with Beaky.
To Paris?
No. I went up to Liverpool to borrow on your insurance.
You mean you were in Liverpool when Beaky... You didn't go to Paris?
I wish I had. I'd never have let some idiot give poor old Beaky that brandy.
Oh, Johnny. I've been such a fool. If only I'd realized it. If I'd been as close to you as I should have, you might have confided in me more. But things are going to be different now, Johnny.
People don't change overnight. I'm no good, Lena.
Oh, darling, let's turn back. Go home and see it all through together.
It won't work. I'm taking you on to your mother's.
It will work. I know it. Let me go back, will you?
You don't belong in this.
But I do. I won't let you shut me out. Please, Johnny. Turn the car around and go home.
No, Lena, no. We're saying goodbye.
Yes. I know, Johnny. But it's going to take so many, many years to say goodbye.
You see and hear your favorite picture star, enjoy that something extra that only the best can bring. For generations, people have felt that way about the House of Squibb. They expect more from any Squibb product, and they get more. There's a plus in Squibb Dental Cream, for example, that millions are enjoying every day. For it's more than a completely safe and effective aid in cleaning your teeth. Squibb Dental Cream is refreshment in a tube, a frosty, minty flavor sensation. Whenever you want to feel your best and look your best, wake up your mouth with Squibb Dental Cream. Use it before every engagement for a breath of freshness in your smile. Get Squibb Dental Cream tomorrow. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Next Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Awards starring Olivia de Havilland in Cheers for Miss Bishop. Today's performance of Suspicion was written for radio by Frank Wilson with an original musical score composed and conducted by Lee Stevens. Our producer-director is Dee Engelbach. Cary Grant may currently be seen in RKO's Alfred Hitchcock production, Notorious. And Todd appears to the courtesy of David O. Selznick and may soon be seen in the Selznick production, The Paradigm Case. Nigel Bruce was unable to appear tonight because of illness. The part of Beaky on tonight's performance was played by Carl Harbert. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you goodnight until next Wednesday at the same time when you're invited to listen again to Academy Awards, presented by the House of Squibb. A name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.